Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Yes! Oh my God! Sorry. Sorry, everyone. This is Ross Patterson. I am again missing Matt Best. I'm missing Jared Taylor. I'm missing the man behind the chin. I'm missing Rocco tonight. In case you didn't hear, kids, a little movie called Range 15 exploded around the globe. Really, around maybe other planets. Maybe other planets have seen how huge this fucking thing is. Fox News ran a story today. They're calling Matt to do CNN. They're shipping out Rocco and Matt to L.A. Jared is still in cerebral palsy. I don't think it has anything to do with the movie. I think they're literally giving him deals at a sandwich shop, and I don't know if he's coming back. I don't know if he's ever coming back, to be honest with you. But that's no excuse to not have a show. I got a special guest tonight too, as well. So it's not just going to be me talking by myself. Although that would be interesting. Jesus, I'd actually like that. I actually might do a show of just myself talking to myself for an hour. That way, I can help myself and then help others in the process while I'm helping myself out. But that's just all part of my greatness. And again, that's something we can brush on in another episode. But tonight we do have a special guest, and he'll be joining us right after I get through these ball-wrenching, exciting sponsors. The first one, big fan of the show, long time since the begins. They were kind of the BC, if you will, before Carnivore Club of the show. You know who I'm talking about. I'm sure. Look, I think the cave people even used to eat this. That's how long the Carnivore Club's been around. That's how long they've been on the show. You know what time it is. You know it's dick joke time, or it's Carnivore Club time. Either way, you're getting some meat in your mouth. Yes, it's that part of the podcast where I get all hyped up. I get super fucking excited to talk about putting salami in your mouth. I sometimes wish we had a porn star here for this. And we could just slide a whole thing of salami inside her mouth and then just have that on the show. And that be part of the sponsorship for Carnivore Club. Can I do this seriously? No, I can't. But I can goddamn well try. Cause meat is serious. It's extremely serious. And you know, Carnivore Club takes their job extremely serious. When they come to finding the best meats out there in the entire land that they send you once a month. If you're not already a Carnivore Club member, you need to listen up, okay? This is the only club that'll send you flavors of cured meats like jerky and salami that you didn't even know existed. And you definitely didn't know that you were going to get a boner for. It's a new box of meat every month, and cracking that package open and diving in like Michael Phelps will make you feel like a little king. Not like a LeBron James, you're only winning 2 out of 7 championships king, but like a real king, like one in the olden days. Carnivore Club hunts through the country to find the most talented people making awesome meat products and then ships that collection of all their best stuff right to you. If we could make you taste it through a sound clip, we would. If I could jam it into your sweet ass pie holes right now through the microphones, you know I'd do it. And I just got a new box in the mail, and it's every fucking time out of the park, those guys just knock it out. Go to carnivoreclub.co. Make sure to use the promo code Drinking Bros to get 10% off your order. Join the fucking club. Get a subscription. We've all got a subscription. Get the best meat you've ever tasted. Head over to carnivoreclub.co. Use the promo code Drinking Bros and get that fucking 10% off. I love it. I love it. The next one is a little home defense ammunition. A little ammunition, a little company called Tartarus Ordnance, that is Tartarusordnance, a.k.a. I wish a motherfucker would. I wish a motherfucker would. You know who didn't? Nobody. No ISIS came in during Range 15 because they all know we were strapped to the nines with Tartarus Ordnance. They deal arms. They sell home defense ammunition. They got patches and stickers to make it all legit. Go to TartarusOrdnance.com. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off of everything in the whole fucking store. And you know, while you're there, if you're perusing the internet, you should probably hop on over to Amazon and get the greatest piece of literature ever written, which is A Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, a romance novel for dudes. Oh my gosh. Guess what, kids? It's getting real close to being a bestseller. Even Simon & Schuster, listen up, and they dropped the first chapter for free today online. I get some big news about the book next week, but it is the funniest thing you'll ever read in your entire life. If you like Range 15, you'll like this, as I wrote them both. You're welcome for my brilliance all the way around. So go to audible.com or amazon.com. Get yourself a copy of At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. If you're reading it in the morning, you can grab some Black Rifle Coffee from blackriflecoffee.com. And you can wet your whistle. You can get your palate wet. You can let that asshole exit out the night before after drinking a cup of coffee. And you type in the promo code Drinking Bros. They're going to give you 20% off. If that's true or not, I don't know. But Evan Hafer is a big fan of the show. We're a big fan of him. And I like to surprise Evan, you know? So go to Black Rifle Coffee. Tell him Ross Patterson said you get 20% off. Also, we got some shirts that are selling the fuck out. So many people are at the screenings wearing Drinking Bros t-shirts. We go to drinkingbrospodcast.com. We got shirts. We got Lincoln's Box Seat Silkies. Shit is going down for real. Yeah, I just quoted a Flo Rida song. That's how amped I am about those shirts. But not as amped as I am about this next guest. We got a fellow, a young strapping man, if you will, a lad named Sean Mattson from a little company called, yes, you guessed it, Strike Force Energy. Are you making sound effects for your own company?
Yeah, why not?
You're goddamn right. You're the CEO. You can make sound effects for your own fucking company.
I can
company.
Do that. That's what my job is, you know? Who's going to tell me no, right?
No one.
Not right.
No one. Do you want to read your own sponsorship here since you're here? You're here?
You know, I probably couldn't do it as well as you, so why don't you take it? You got this.
Let Jesus take the wheel you on got this one. But yep. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 20% off of everything. I got a beautiful ammo can that was in a lot of the screenings last night around the country. Everybody's trying Strike Force for the same time. I've been seeing a lot of the same things pop up on social media where everybody's addicted to it like we are now. It was crack-like last night.
Liquid crack, yeah. It's amazing. As soon as people try it, they're like, holy shit, this is really good.
Yeah.
This is really good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Because a lot of people approach me and they're like, man, you guys really promo the shit out of Strikeforce. Do you fucking own the company? And I'm like, look, we're trying to pry some from their filthy hands, but we don't. We just enjoy it that much. Thanks for having thanks for coming down the show.
No, appreciate
we wanted,
it.
We wanted to have you down here. You drove all the way down from Virginia Beach. We really appreciate it. Down to Wilmington, North Carolina. And everybody loves this shit so much. We were like, dude, let's have him on so we can explain the backstory of this. Because this is a product that, I don't want to say once in a lifetime, but I haven't had anything like this maybe in 10 years. Like, you know, I remember having Red Bull for the first time and I was like, oh, shit, this is something new. But there, you know, ever since then, there's been Monster and some other shit. But Strike Force is the jam.
Yeah, we're really excited because it's coming at it a completely different way, right? You know, hence the hashtag kick the can, right?
Because
everybody else does them in a can. They want to do it in that realm, right? We want to completely segregate ourselves from that and say we're something different.
Yes,
right?
Segregation.
Segregation.
Well, you want to go back to separate water fountains. Red Bull in one, Strike Force in the other.
Right. Yeah. You know, we want that. You know, they're going to ride in the front of the bus because that's where they go.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they're
treating you like Rosa Parks and you're standing up for yourself saying, no, there's a new energy drink in town.
And we're going to take your shares from
you.
See you later.
Yeah.
So we're happy with it, you know, and the feedback from the Drinking Bros community has been just incredible. I mean, everybody's coming out, you know, they're sharing pictures of it, talking about their experiences of first stuff, giving us great feedback on how we can continue to be better. So we're going to keep changing it and make it better for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, look, if we didn't love it, we wouldn't fucking drive it home so much. I mean, Jesus, it's like pre-workout, midday, moms are fucking drinking it. But all that stuff aside, we love Strike Force, but also, we wanted to have you on the show, cause a lot of people don't know, your story, who you are, where you came from, and that you were also, you have a military background.
That's correct. Yeah. We are veteran owned. There's two veterans, well, three veterans in the company, out of the ownership. So, myself and, Zach Steinbach, he's another owner in the company. And then the gentleman who, was the chemist behind it, Bill. He's also the third veteran in the company. So, and then some of the others that you'll see floating through the Drinking Bros community and everything is Bruce, who you see a lot of times, not a veteran, but just an American patriot that, you know, wants nothing to do but make, you know, America great.
Sure. So. And say Bruce's last name for the community.
Slay?
Yeah. Yeah, it's spelled S-H... S-C-H-L-E-E.
Yeah.
So it is, it's Schley.
Schley, yeah.
Schley bells.
Yep.
Schley bells ring, are you listening?
Schley bells, yeah.
Schley bells ring, are you listening? Yeah, there's going to be Strike Force in people's stockings.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Santa Claus is bringing it to everybody this Christmas. You know, just go ahead and put in the Drinking Bros code and you'll get it for Christmas.
Oh, boy. Boy, yeah, because this ammo can's not going to last me long. I got a beautiful ammo can of it. There's about 300 in there. We gave some out. I hid some for myself, not going
to
lie.
You got
some are stashed at the house.
Yeah.
But you were also a Navy SEAL, correct?
Correct, yeah. Coming up on 1 year out of the team. So last June.
Wow.
Last June 30th was my last day on active duty. So
holy shit!
I've only been a civilian for a little bit. And
how's it feel?
It's a bittersweet. You know, I miss a lot of parts of the team. I miss the camaraderie. I miss the guys. But you know, I found I found a different passion, and that's how can I support veterans,
right,
and entrepreneurs. So like both of those things where those worlds collide, that's like that's where I find my happy place, and like that's what gets me up in the morning. I get going and figuring out like how I can help other entrepreneurs with whatever they are working on, and if they're a veteran, that to me is just that's the golden ticket when they're a veteran and an entrepreneur. So
yeah, and again, like all kidding aside, because we do love Strikeforce and everything, but we wanted to have you on the show. Your story is interesting in the fact that one, you found happiness when you got out. A lot of people struggle once they get out to find, you know, a different passion or some way to lead a better life. I think what you're doing, not only for veterans, but for just entrepreneurs, like you're leading the way. And I kind of want to touch on what gave you the confidence to do it. How'd you get your backing? Because a lot of people don't know. Everybody's out there. There's a lot of people out there listening to our show right now who say to themselves, fuck, I get up every morning. I don't like my job. I don't enjoy what I do. Maybe they hate their fucking boss. They don't want to work for them. They would rather be their own businessman. I have my own company. You have your own company. There's a lot more that goes into it. A lot of sleepless nights and hours that nobody will ever see. And it's really fucking hard.
Yeah.
But when you're doing it, I will say this. I think you can attest this too. You're probably happier than you could ever be, even with the amount of stress that comes with it, than working for somebody else, making somebody else money.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the one thing that, first I would say probably the least likely person to be an entrepreneur or anything like that. Like when Zach and I, Steinbach, we started, Mabach was the first company that he and I started back in, really, we started coming up with ideas back in 2007 when we were both still going through training. We were at the end of our training cycle with for the SEAL teams, and we came up with.
And what is Mabach, by the way, for the audience?
We do innovative technologies and products that we sell back to government. So we have lightweight medical litters and ladders and products that we bring. And then what we also do is the other part of our business model is we give. If any veteran or active duty guy brings us an idea that we end up ultimately taking back and say, yeah, we can sell this and we want to go ahead and move it forward, then we give them a ridiculous percentage back. And you know, we don't disclose what that percentage is.
Sure.
It's something that it's kind of a word of mouth thing for the guys. And so we've had a few guys that have brought us products, and we've brought them out to market, and every quarter they get a paycheck, and I can guarantee you it's about 5 to 10 times higher than industry standard right now in terms of royalty payments. And these guys can still be on the team, they can still do whatever they want to do, but they came up with this great idea, and they can still focus on being that team guy or an SF or a Ranger or whatever. And we take that and move it and put it to, you know, put it through our manufacturing and get it out to market for them.
And what are some of the ideas that have gone through you out to the marketplace?
So one of them in particular, being in the SEAL teams, we were always jumping. We, you know, do dive Sierra land.
Like,
right?
Real SEALs.
So real SEALs.
Like,
not
like
the ones
real...
that bounce balls on their head.
Yeah. But close, because they jump out. They jump out of a lot of things.
True.
They balance a lot of things.
And
some might say they also save lives.
True. They do that. And we bounce balls on our heads too, just not the rubber ones.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's dude's balls. It's dude's balls. Like you guys take dude's balls.
But the model that we worked with is taking something like we had Skyfins is one of our products that we had. So we're always jumping out of airplanes and working with, you know, rucks and things like that. So whenever you have that. Tendency is to start back flying. So you can't get positive legs because the rucks are down near your legs. And so a lot of times with guys, especially shorter guys, they start flying backwards and don't even realize it.
Right.
So what we created, and this is in the civilian market all over the place, because guys wear flight suits and wing suits and other things like that,
sure,
where they have pants that that cover their toes. And all we did was add a small we didn't do it. One of the guys brought this idea to us, took their cry pants that have the built-in knee pads.
Right.
And made a device that could connect around that and could go around your shoe, basically creating a booty. But that extra surface area now creates enough surface area. So when you're skydiving with extra weight and things like that, it creates that positive that you need in your legs. So you don't have to put so much input. And a funny story is Zach's a pretty good skydiver. And first time he put them on, he jumped out of the airplane and did like 3 back flips because of all the positive air and everything. He was like, fuck, I didn't even know that these things really work really well. Like, you could fly no hands and just use your legs and get around for with everything because it's so responsive.
Right.
But that was a product that they brought to us. And we knew that, you know, it's a gap in the current technologies, and we knew that, you know, we knew guys would be buying.
So you guys are like Shark Tank for veterans.
Basically, yeah.
What's give a quick rundown of some of the other companies you guys have helped.
The one thing that we do is if it's a that's a particular product, for example,
right.
and the way we work it is they have to exclusively license that product to Mattbox to go sell and do. And we put brand it under our label, and that's what we push forward.
Okay.
So we've got two product lines, but or two kind of business models in that the pillars of the business model for that.
Okay. And what are some of the other products you got?
Like lightweight medical litters, litters, ladders, and everything. So that was kind of like the catalyst for our company was this system we call the LIFT system. And because it's a military company, we had to have an acronym. So LIFT system stands for Lightweight Integrated Field Transport System.
Okay.
And there's the LIFT part of it. But it only weighs 12.5 pounds. But we replaced 60 pounds worth of gear that units are currently buying. And when you're looking at the 8 products that they normally buy in a rigid litter, a ladder, a sensitive site exploitation bag, and all these other products that they have, extension poles and other things,
right.
that weighs over 60 pounds when you add all that together. And we have a system that where the poles are the backbone of it, where you can put the poles in the litter, you can put the poles in the ladder, and you can kind of make the whole system work off of the poles. Well, that whole system only weighs 12.5 pounds. And it's actually cheaper buying it as our system than it is buying the 8 individual products.
Yeah, no, and look, I'm someone who's used to carrying 12.5 pounds around every single day between my legs. And some might call that a chore. You know, if you want to come up with a business, you know, idea around that of how I'm supposed to carry this from A to B, that'd be helpful.
We'll work on that.
Yeah.
That's something
just some type of contraption.
We're usually trying to go lighter. Lighter is our way.
So, I'm always trying to go lighter.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do about it. It's a gift and a curse is what it is.
Yeah.
And I blame God. You know, some nights I'm angry at God. I stay up all night and there's a lot of tears and I'm just pounding on my big, dumb penis. And I'm just like, why? Why can't you be smaller? So, I feel the pain and all that.
You know what it's like just carrying around useless weight.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's not really useless.
I usually sing, I've been working on the railroad, that Dinah song, Somebody's in the Kitchen with Dinah.
I don't know that one.
Yeah. Sometimes I call my penis Dinah and be like, somebody's in the kitchen with Dinah. Someone's in the kitchen, I know. And it's me. Like, I'm Dinah. So, or I call my penis Dinah. I'll swap it off on the ones and twosies. Let's get into some exciting shit. Like being in the SEALs. You got any cool stories? You got any rad shit that happened? Are you going to be like, it's classified? Yeah, it's fucking classified. I can't talk about it. It's fucking classified.
It's classified. No, you know, one of the cool stories that I do have, and it actually feeds into what we did with Mattbox is I was on an op one night, and we ended up taking a casualty, not from us, but from one of the locals, and I became the medic. I was supposed to be the ground force commander for the operation. I became the medic very quickly, just because we didn't have a lot of Americans with us, and saw how I was task saturated and just overwhelmed immediately by everything going on. My JTAC was keeping everything under control. Our partner force just completely melted that night, and we're sitting here, 400
Where
meters.
Are you, by the way?
Iraq. We're 400 meters away from the target. You know, eight dudes sitting there with AKs just peeking over the wall the whole time, staring at us, and we're just like, fuck this. Like,
yeah.
And like I said, like I have a PK gunner, a PKM gunner sitting beside me, and he's just sitting there smoking a cigarette because our partner force just melted in front of our face. And so and we had such a small American footprint at the time that we were like, this is going to suck. Like, you know, we just took this. We just erupted this area. Like, we don't have.
Did you ever think it was over? Like, this is
it? No. Like, we had plenty of air assets overhead. I knew. I was ready to dump taking care of this and just call in something heavy.
You always wonder, like, all right, if homeboy starts smoking a cigarette, does that mean he's checking out? Like, well, he's, you know?
The whole night was all set up weird. Like, you know, watching, because we could see the target because it was close enough for that. And we're getting comms and everything like that. So I'm running dual comms. So I have my assault net on one ear. I have my command net in one ear. And then I have underneath that, I have a handset underneath, and that's a SATCOM. So I'm listening to three nets at one time while I'm trying to work on this dude and save this guy's life.
Holy shit.
And I'm just sitting there like, just fuck, this sucks. Like,
did you save his life?
No, I ended up losing him. So that ended up sucking. But you know, he actually deserved it. He shot at us first, and we, you know, because he was a local, we still tried to save his life for it. But
right.
It just how it worked. And but we got him on the bird, got him out of there, and we're getting ready to wrap up, and I'm talking to the commander, and he's like, "Oh, hey, go ahead and you know, Charlie Mike," and I'm just like, what the fuck did you say? Like, right. Seriously? Like, we're not in any position to do that. Like, our partner force is, you know, shit right now. Like, they obviously know we're here because you've got every fucking thing overhead right now, you know, just screaming right overhead. Like, they know we're here. We've completely eliminated our surprise. So, but what had happened, it was a miscommunication over SATCOM because I was telling him, you know, I recommended that we exfil, and he said Charlie Mike. He was saying, you know, continue mission on right. My, you know, recommendation to exfil.
Yeah, so,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I sat there puzzled for a second and then, like, recalled back in. I was like, hey, we're exfil. And he's like, that's what I said, exfil. I was like, all right, check, we're leaving. So we left and started walking out of there.
Are you allowed to talk back to them and just say, hey, bro, what the fuck are you saying right now? Like, has there ever been a time where you lost it and you were like, I don't think you understand what the fuck is going on down here?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, like, it's...
You just can't use that terminology, right?
No, I mean, like, if it was ever that... In my eyes, if it was ever that case, then I failed to paint that picture for my commander, right? Like, that was always my way of looking at it. Like, if he's not understanding what I'm saying, then I'm not doing my job. Because I'm his eyes and ears on the ground.
Sure.
I'm his extension of him. So he's got to trust me and trust what I have to say. But if he comes back and questions it, then that means that I'm not doing my job. That's how I always looked at it. And so I was always... I was always looking at it and say, look, sir, like, you know, and over trying to, you know, say, this is what's going on. This is what we got on the ground, like, and telling them, but you know, they gave me the freedom to do what I needed to do on the ground. So I felt then, I guess I did my job of being able to paint that picture, right?
Okay, yeah.
So I never ran into that situation, but... So on this mission, we're exfilling, we're leaving, getting onto the bird, and I take my headset and I just throw it, like, or get ready to take my headset off, and I tell the guys, like, hey, don't fucking talk to me. Like, I don't want to hear a fucking word for the next, you know, the entire flight home. Just obviously lost this guy, didn't know what was fucking going to happen on this op, and took everything down and sat there the whole flight home. And this was, like, right after we'd started Mabok, and we'd only had, like, a few things that we were working on. And came up with one of our products, like, the whole flight home. So, like, I came up with the which is now, it's called the S-Lift, which is an SSE bag that turns into a soft litter. I developed that whole thing on the flight home, and I was just, like, we got home and back to the FOB, and immediately, like, rode up to my buddy, like, after all my reports and everything were done. I was like, Zach, like, check this thing out. What do you think about this? He's like, dude, that's fucking brilliant. That will all be awesome. So
right.
it just came out of, you know, that situation. And so I don't know. That's a cool story.
So would you say Mabok is pretty widely known in the industry?
No, not by any means. Like, we're still real underground.
How long you been in business?
Like, since total? 2010.
Okay.
But the thing is it's great because, like, we're fighting all of, like, the big heavy hitters, and we come into the industry disrupting everything.
Right.
So, what everyone else thinks is a good idea, like, we try to find another way and try to come a different way at it and say, no, that's a good, I see where you're going with that, but that's actually stupid. You should do it this way.
Right.
And and fitting in that model is actually one of our plate carriers. And it was actually developed by a good friend of ours who's actually part of the Drinkin' Bro community. He's still active, so
a lot of secrets out of you guys. Lot of secrets.
Hey, you know, if he was here and he gave me the thumbs up, I would name drop.
No,
I respect him for that. But he's an awesome dude and Air Force guy. So, you know, yeah. give a shout out to him. And
Jared would
good,
be happy.
Good friends with
Jared,
old
Jimmy John's Taylor.
I was going to say Toaster.
Oh, my brave little Toaster. He's got so many names. He goes by T-Bone Taylor, my brave little Toaster.
I like BLT, you know, the brave little Toaster, you know.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great dude. He'd be answered about that Air Force comment.
So the concept though is, so we always carry some kind of releasable armor. You know, we're around water, so we want to ditch your plates if you get into a situation. So this guy came up with an idea to still ditch your plates, but still have everything left behind that you can fight with. So your Rhodesian is kind of a Rhodesian or chest rig is, depending on which branch you're with, you know, your magazines and radio and everything like that, that stays behind. So he developed this, and we've brought it out to the market as part of our carrier system. You can pull the straps, pull the release system, and actually dump your plates, but you still get left behind your ammo and your comms and everything else like that. So you can still fight. And
right.
When he brought us the idea, we were like, dude, this is fucking genius. Like, this is exactly what we're talking about. Because everybody else in the industry, you name the big names out there for, you know, Blackhawks and London Bridge Tacticals,
sure,
and all these others that are out there, and everybody knows them, they all have some kind of releasable system that does the complete opposite. They all went with a assault rig first and then added a chest rig, but then you have to add shoulder straps and other things. So you have
to
carry all this extra
all
stuff
this
around,
yeah,
where ours, you don't have to. Once you ditch the plates, you still have what you need to fight with, and it's all integrated into that. So, you know, when he showed us that, that made sense to us. Like, okay, the entire industry thinks that this is the way to go, and this should be the way we should go. We're going this way and completely outside of that. But and we developed a material. Once we developed that material that we just actually came out with just recently, that carrier only weighs 1 pound. When, you know, our competition, our lightest competition, somewhere around 2.2 pounds.
And wow.
So we're crushing with that. So,
that's great.
And so that's what I was saying. Like, we're trying to just could be completely disruptive. And it's fun because we take on, you know, the medical community. We take on, like, assault community. We're taking in, all these different, like, heavy hitters in the industry.
Right.
And coming in with something, and they're just like, fuck you guys. Like,
yeah.
So that's what we've been about, is just being an innovative company in that. And you know, to not call myself a segue Sally, but I'm going to segue into this. And so that's actually how I got to meet Bruce and the team. Zach and I were in the process, and we're developing a robot that you could slap onto the side of a vessel, a ship, right? Climbs a ship. It has a...
You have a patent for this now?
Well, actually, Bruce does.
Okay, great.
This is Bruce's patent. So we were looking all over, and we were
trying to look out for you.
Yeah.
In case there's any robot builders out at home chilling out in their garage right now.
The nerds probably already have one built better than what Bruce does.
There's a lot more robot builders out in the world than you think.
Oh, yeah.
Look, Jared's an amateur robot builder.
I did not know that.
No, you didn't. He's got a lot of hidden talents. He builds little tiny robots that look like Howard the Duck. And that's a hobby of his. That's what he likes to do on the weekend. He's also coming up with these toothpicks. They're gay pride toothpicks. It's for the gay community. They're rainbow flavored.
Yep.
So he's doing a lot of things that are really, really important for the world.
Those would be important. Definitely.
Yeah. Just yeah. And it's mainly just those two things. Mainly just those two in particular. But so how did you get to Strikeforce?
Because
this, again, I haven't had something like this in a long time. When we had it, I was like, I called you and I was like, hey man, I'd love to have you come down on the show just once, because this type of shit that, look, we get sent shit all the time. Like probably every 2 days people send us shit. We hadn't had anything like this before. And I was like, holy shit. All right. Who came up with this? Why? How'd you get it in a pouch like this? Like, cause to me, this would, once this gets out into the world in a massive way, it'll crush everything else. And it's like, I was a big energy drink guy.
Yeah.
With Red Bull and Monster and stuff. I cannot go back now to that shit. Like, I feel like I'm just drinking a can of soda. Yeah. And even though I was drinking the sugar-free shit.
Yep.
It's just, it was too heavy to work out with. It was too heavy. Like, and then I started drinking this and I was like, oh shit. And then just started crushing my days. So I guess who is the scientist behind this, the brain trust, and how did you get it out there?
So Bill's actually he's the chemist. So
okay.
he's the master chemist behind the whole thing. And I flew down to Tampa to meet with Bruce to talk to him about this robot that we wanted to build with them and how the project was going to look. It was going to be a partnership between Matt Bach and Helical Robotics, his company.
Okay.
They do a lot of gas and oil pipeline inspections. They do their robots are on
very lucrative, very lucrative industry, by the way.
Yeah, very, very. And the thing is like all of his robots. I mean, they're even talking about sending them out to like Japan and other places to go down into like the nuke plants and inspect those.
Wow.
And then just be like, yep, see you later, robot. You know, fuck you.
Yeah. Burn the robot.
See ya, just let it go.
Yeah, let it go.
But because of the technology that they have on their robots, it is all patented and everything like that. But him and his brother developed all of these different types of robots to go on, like I said, oil and gas pipelines, you know, gas and oil platforms out in the sea, and then also wind turbines.
Right.
So that's where like they were focused on. And I said, hey, look, like, you know, we have this idea and concept. You know, you guys have the product that we need. Do you want to work together? So he said, hey, let's talk, fly down here and let's have this conversation. So I flew down to Tampa and it was like a real early flight. And I don't know if I was up late last night or the night before or whatever, but I was just dog tired and got to their facility down in Tampa, just south of Tampa a little bit. And I had a Monster.
Right.
In my hand, and I was about halfway through the Monster, and he was like, "You like energy drinks?" And I was like, "You know, I prefer coffee, but like I'm fucking just exhausted right now. I'll take anything."
Sure.
And so he cracked open a pouch and put it in water, and was like, "Here, just try this." And like I got about halfway through that thing, and I was like, bro, like, how the fuck do I become part of this company? Like, what did you give
me?
Same
questions like, I have.
Yeah.
Same,
what did you give
question.
Me?
Yeah.
Like, is this legal, first off? Because I was like, I was still active. And I'm like, am I going to pop positive on a drug test? Like, what's up with this?
Yeah.
And he was like, so, and I'd already finished about half the bottle. Like I said, he was like, you just drank about a can of Red Bull worth of energy. And I was like, am I going to die here in a minute? Like, my heart going to die? And he's like, no, you're good. He's like, you can basically have that entire bottle. You can have two bottles and you're okay. And I was like, all right, well, again, what is this and who came up with this and how do I become a part of it? And so we started having that conversation of
what year is this, by the way?
So last year was 2014. It was 2014.
Okay.
So it's 2000,
that's quick. That's really
so it's 2014.
It's a new company.
It was 2014. It may have been early 2015. So I might be wrong on that. It might even be early 2015. But
okay.
But, so last summer, basically, you know, he was like, look, I've got about, I don't know what it was like 20,000 packs sitting on the shelf right now. He's like, I got about 20,000 packs on the shelf. Like, you know, we think we're onto something. You know, what do you think? I was like, again, like, I want to be a part of this. Let's see what I can do. Like, give me as much as you're willing to give me, and let's go see what the community
sure.
says. And so I started passing it out to guys, sending it downrange to guys that I knew at different fobs and different things. And I was just like, hey, give me your feedback. What do you think on this? And immediately everyone was like, this shit's really fucking good. Like, I want more of it. Like, when can I buy more?
Right.
That's all I got. Sorry. It's like, but it was great because everyone was like, send me more. I'm like, I don't have any more. I'm sorry. And so,
right,
like,
it's out.
You know, like, and so Bruce and I had a bunch of conversations after that. And we did our initial run. Our first run of about 40,000 packs back in November of last year.
Okay.
And I remember it because it was right around, I was on a hunt out in Omaha, Nebraska for Veterans
Hogs?
Day. No, it was actually pheasants.
Okay.
And we slaughtered pheasants with the Warner family, Warner Enterprises Trucking Company.
Whoa,
and stuff like that.
Whoa, so, some big time shit.
Oh yeah, it was a good time. I don't even know what they dropped for it, but they.
Would you say you were pheasantly surprised by everything?
I was pheasantly surprised.
God,
it was a good one.
I nailed it. I am on fire tonight.
You're on fire, yeah.
I'm on fire tonight. I'm on some Strike Force tonight. By the way, do you have a bottle opener?
I don't know. We left.
Can you open? Can a seal open a bottle? Do you have a? He's got a knife on him.
I got a knife.
He's got a knife on him. Look at that.
We're gonna get creative with this.
Why not?
Bam!
Boom! Look at that. The fucking seals, man. He just opened a beer bottle, and I'm gonna say 12 seconds. So the seals, they really are lifesavers.
Cheers!
Cheers! You saved my life tonight.
Oh no!
Someone saved my life tonight. So you've had Strike Force for about a year and a half now.
Yep.
When are you guys going out in stores? When's the world gonna get a taste of Strike Force?
Because
I could see this. I was at a fucking Sam's Club the other day buying shit for my fam. You know, some TP, some baby diapers,
maybe
that whole shit. And somebody had a very similar pouch, and I think it was called B12.
Yeah.
But it doesn't taste as good as yours. And some people were sampling it. I was like, oh shit, this might become a thing in stores. Like, when are you guys going out to stores and all that stuff?
We're working that, like, as we speak, we're working that process to get into gas stations and other things like that. Like, ultimately, like, you know, we talk about the disruptive stuff with Mabok, and we see the same thing with Strike Force, right? So we can come into a market that is arguably saturated with companies, with everything out there, Red Bull, Monsters, and Amps, and all these other companies that have, you know, have some kind of thing. And then it's like, well, how do we come in there and disrupt that and still find a viable product that
a
people
nice
are gonna
niche.
Like?
So if you can carve out a niche in anything in this
can.
Life, yeah, kick the can,
put down that can,
ditch the can. Because when do you think we could start seeing this in stores? You think
I don't know. Like, you know,
are you guys going to stick to online?
I think we're going to stick to online more. We really like that model. You know,
it's cheap to ship because it's light as fuck.
It is light as fuck, and you know, with the support that we've seen through the Drinking Bros community and what they have kind of taught us too is saying, like, you know, we can. I think we ended up coming down. We were looking over and analyzing, and we ended up changing our free shipping from $35 down to $34. And it doesn't seem like much, but we were able to capture now just about any order that you try to put in. You know, you get your promo code, you get your 20%. And weird things were happening where we would lose people because of the percentage rate. So it would drop them under that free shipping.
Gotcha.
And so we threw it down just $1, and all of a sudden now we can capture, you know, that, you know, now guys can get free shipping. Yeah, it's $1, doesn't seem like much difference, but you know, you're talking 20% off of a $40, $35 order. You can still get that free shipping. So
Right. I've got it. By the way, I think, me personally, the way everything is leaning towards is subscription-based models.
Yep.
I'm this way with everything. And it's it's out of comfort, and it's also out of I don't want to go to the store and get shit. Like, I've got a subscription of Strikeforce that comes to my house every month. I've got a the fucking Carnivore Club comes to the house, Black Rifle Coffee. I've gotten so used to that throughout the months that it's like, Rocco, who's, you know, goes through a lot of toilet paper, was like, dude, I wish I could get subscriptions of that. And I heard you can.
Yeah.
And I think as a society, that's where we're headed. You know, with the Walmarts that are going out of business, what did they shut down? 800 stores this year?
It was a lot. Cause yeah. I mean, and the thing is, I mean, you're right. And I like, you know, listen to JT talk on the podcast about culture and, you know, just how everything is phasing more towards that. It's spot on. Like, that's exactly what, you know, I agree.
Yeah.
And you see culture, like, I don't want to have to remember, like, oh, you know, I need to order that or I need to go do that. Like, I just want it, you know, hey, you know, this month I used a little bit more, but that's all right. I got, you know, I ran out a little early. So next month I'll just up that subscription, right?
Right.
Credit card information is already secured. It's already exactly. set on there.
Yeah.
It's an easy thing and I don't have to worry about it. And so, yeah, I mean, the subscription model is great for that. And, you know, immediately, I mean, you think of the companies like Dollar Shave Club and things like that. I mean, you can't beat, you know, all right. Razor blades are the biggest pain in the ass to buy.
You also need a mortgage. You also need a good lending tree to fucking buy some razor blades these days.
It's ridiculous.
That and ink cartridges for computers.
There's so many things like that, and the subscription model is that it's great. And we're so busy, we're so tied up in whatever it is that, you know, you're doing it, whether it's, you know, job, kids, or maybe it's both. And having that is one less thing I have to worry about. It is amazing. And then, you know, I give the Drinking Bro community a little insider tip on it. If you subscribe with Strikeforce, you can actually get 4 boxes for free shipping on the subscription, where you might need 5 boxes not doing the subscription because of how the promo code applies it differently at different
times.
You
didn't even tell me this, and I'm buying this shit. I could have gotten some for free. I could have gotten some for fucking free.
Yeah.
So that's great. That's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, so check that out. Check out the subscription. The subscription model is definitely the way to go.
Trust me. I've got it. Matt, all of us have got it because we're fucking addicted to it. What's your biggest advice for entrepreneurs out there?
The biggest thing that I like, know your customer and treat your customer the way you want to be treated, right? Like, I don't have an MBA. You know, I never went to school for that. Like, the way that I've looked at business is, if it's not the right thing, like, we need to make it right.
Right. Right?
So, you know, we are early on in the stage of Strikeforce. We tried to do this million pack giveaway, and we were shipping 5 packs with a 30% discount code on the card. And a sticker for $2.99.
Right.
And we tested this thing out, you know, for a couple months before we started it, and we were paying extra for the mailing service to actually manually sort the mail.
Right.
So it's an upcharge. And so we did it, no problems. We did it a couple of times, like I said, over a couple months, and no problems. And then we started the campaign. And immediately we started getting, hey, this blew out, because they rolled them through. The USPS got lazy and started putting them through the rollers and not manually sorting them.
So did it explode inside the
exploded inside the mailing package,
shit.
Right? And so then we even had a customer contact us and say, hey, the mailman just asked me for 40 cents because this was supposed to go through manually sorted and not machine sorted. And we're like, yeah, we already paid that. Like,
right.
And so that was basically the straw that broke the camel's back for us. And we're like, you know what? Fuck the U.S. Postal Service. If you're going to be dicks like that, you obviously see the stamp that says, you know, non-machine sorting, and we're paying the extra, but they don't care. They just run it through, blow all the
packages. They could give two shits and zero fucks.
So we ended up shutting that program down, and instead what we're doing is we're actually getting ready to ship out about 6,000 packs to different USOs. And so at the Charlotte USO, the Dallas USO, San Diego USO, and there's one other that I can't think of right now. We're going to have ammo cans just sitting there at the USO for the troops, and they're going to have them just right there for the guys. So we figured, look, we were already trying to figure out how to just get this out to the community. And, you know, the million pack giveaway was kind of our one step, and that was kind of a failed attempt. So we regrouped and said, all right, well, fuck you. If you're going to do that, we're going to give it straight to the guys then. Fine. And so we're going to donate them all to the USO. So they're going to be sitting there.
That's great.
I think they're shipping out this next week. So we were focused on Range 15 and trying to support all that. And so those went well. We had a lot of people reach out to us.
Yeah. And by the way, the movie's out and about. You went to go see it. Did you enjoy it?
Hilarious. Fucking hilarious.
Crazy movie, right?
It was great. Yeah. It was great. Besides the theater being a little hot in Virginia Beach, I was dying laughing. Everybody was laughing in the theater. I mean, it was nonstop. You could tell, though, the people that don't understand the veteran humor, because there'd be jokes and only like a few people would get.
Right.
Yeah, you're not a veteran.
Yeah.
But it's all good. I mean, it was fun. It was definitely a good time. So.
Good. I'm going to give you a ooh, since you're here. And since we're talking about movies, let's get into SEAL movies. What's your favorite? What's your favorite SEAL movie? What's your least favorite SEAL movie? No pressure. The whole SEAL community is waiting for your response, and they're going to judge you on this the rest of your life.
Exactly. Yeah, I can give you my worst. Will definitely be Tears of the Sun.
Oh, with Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
You know, I read for that movie.
Did you?
Now I'm glad I didn't get it. It went to Ben Foster, if I recall. I never saw the film, though.
So, listen.
But Ben Foster was in it, right?
Yeah. So, one of the funny things is one of my buddies, we're both getting ready to start being platoon commanders. And he was like, I was sitting there and I was like, I can't believe I'm going to be almost 40 years old as a platoon commander. And I was like, dude, you sound like Bruce Willis right now from Tears of the Sun. He's like, you know, it's funny because I just thought about that. And I was like, you know, and during that entire movie, I was like, that's bullshit. There's no such thing as a 40-year-old platoon commander. Da, 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 da. And here I am getting ready to be 40 years old and be a platoon commander. I was like, they nailed it.
So
they nailed
maybe,
it for you.
Maybe Bruce Willis was on to some shit.
Nailed it. Yeah.
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 So, yeah. Well, so what was your favorite then?
I would have to say America Sniper was good.
Except for the baby, the fake baby.
Yeah. I have a hard time with those movies. I actually just watched, right before Range 15, I just watched 13 Hours.
Oh, the Benghazi movie. Yeah.
You know, all those movies, I don't know. I just have a hard time with them.
It puts you back there?
Yeah, and I read well, first, Lone Survivor, but I skipped the first, 250 pages or whatever, get through Buds and all that stuff like that. I was like, yeah, cool story. You know, we've all been there.
Right.
I don't care about yours. I want to hear. So I want to get into the meat of the, meat of the story. So
yeah,
I just started.
You want to unzip the jeans. Yeah, pull the dick out.
So I started reading it, and it literally took me like 2 years to read that book, because I'd literally get like two pages into it, and I would just be bawling. I'd just like, fuck this, and just like slam it shut and just move on to something different. So, and it took me like a month to get back to it, and I'd open it back up.
What'd you think of the movie?
I liked it. I mean, it's
hard to get it right, isn't it?
Yeah, but
like all the way right.
Absolutely. I mean, it's,
and Mark Wahlberg, because Marcus Luttrell was in the movie. He's in Range 15.
Yep. And I was glad to see that. He was in it. I actually tweeted that this morning. I was like, I'm glad to see they had some real talent in the movie.
Yeah. He's fucking great and a great guy. But the thing that I found striking was, obviously I'd seen the movie. Mark Wahlberg didn't have a Southern accent. He's probably half the size of Marcus Luttrell. Marcus is a big guy.
He's a big guy, yeah.
Big fucking guy. Totally different, where I was just like, man, they look nothing alike. So I'm sure from that aspect, for you guys, that's got to be part of the element where you're just like, ah.
Yeah.
Couldn't you at least get that right? Yeah, like capturing the man himself, because it's, you know, he's a big, powerful man. Then you have Marky Mark, and you're like, all right.
It is that. I don't know. For me, it's for me, seeing that, talking to the guys, knowing the guys that went through different things or whatever, and knowing the difficulties and just kind of everything that goes into that, and it makes it still seem like in the movie, it makes it still seem like it was cut and dry, right?
Sure.
And it was like, you know. Well, duh. You know, you're either gonna kill the guy or you're gonna wrap him up. Like, no, there's a lot more stuff that goes on in behind the scenes. Like, you know, and you can argue it, you know, armchair quarterback it all day long. It's like, you know what? Until you're in that situation, shut up.
Yeah, you don't know what the fuck's going on.
You can't put and even, you know, even another team guy, right, or another SF guy in that same situation, like he could have done it completely different in a completely different outcome, right? Who knows? Like, I mean,
yeah.
But it's just, you know, you make the best decision you got at the time, and you operate on that decision. And I think it's been talked about in the podcast before. I think Matt actually was talking about it. You know, we operate on an 80% solution. Like, if I can come to an 80% confidence level, I'm moving out. Like, yeah. You know, like, you just have to. If you try to wait till 100%, and you're never going to get it. And you know,
no. By the way, same with the bars.
Yep.
With the ladies, you know?
You just move 80%.
Operate on 80.
80.
Yeah.
Don't try to go for the 100%.
Never try to go for 100. 80%, strike you probably out. Got her. You probably got her.
Like JT did in the movie.
Yeah.
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 Try to go for the 100. Yep.
Try to. Yeah, he went too hard.
Nope.
He tried to go the full 100. Yeah. Don't.
He should have tried to go for a dude or something like that, and it'd been all over.
Yeah, it would have been fine.
Maybe Jack.
You never know. You never know. After a few drinks, a mouse to mouth at some points. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe they could have sandwiched the doll.
Yeah, it could have.
Yeah.
Could have. Wait for the DVD. Wait for the DVD release. Well, listen, this has been a fascinating show, man. I appreciate you coming on. We love your shit. We love Strike Force. This is the part of the week where we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week. This week's Drinking Bro of the Week was submitted by Lynette Elizabeth. A broette submitted it this week. She says in her email, I'm sure y'all get tons of requests. We're worthy requests, which, look, we're not worthy. We really aren't. For Drinking Bro of the Week. But if you guys could at least mention, this is for Thomas McNabb Miller. Her boyfriend, Andrew, is his grandson, and tomorrow they are going to his funeral at Arlington Cemetery. Thomas retired a Master Chief of the Navy, and from what her boyfriend is told her, that he was just one of the most badass motherfuckers on the planet. He just died a few months ago, and he's finally being buried in Arlington tomorrow. My boyfriend is wicked proud of his grandfather, so they've got to be from Boston. This goes to Thomas McNabb Miller. That was an awesome email, Lynette. And cheers. Cheers.
Cheers.
And we're amped that you wrote in. To everybody who writes in, we do read these. Feel free to submit whoever you want. They can be alive. They could have passed. They could be bronzed. They could be legends. They could be heroes. They could be working at a BP gas station. We're just amped that you tune in twice a week. You listen to us, and you have us as a part of your community. Well, we love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. For Mr. Sean Mattson of Strike Force.
Strike Force.
Yeah, let's have one more sound effect. Yeah, and Mr. Ross Patterson, do I have to call myself the Big Dick Daddy himself? I do. Yeah. Boom. One more. One more sound effect. We love you, kids. We are out of here. Next week, the whole crew will be back. Mr. Matthew Best, Rocco, and Mr. Jared Jimmy Johns Taylor. I'm not calling him Yellow Dark. Good night, everyone.